Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, the topic we're going to put up on the lift is a shift from a spotlight on the hardware of the automobile to the area of car culture and the workplace. More specifically, in today's lingo, car guys and car gals. Because when you look into the world of wheels, even as much as 100 years ago, you had women who were every bit as enthused and involved with their automobiles as any men, and in some cases even more so. I looked up information on some earlier car gals and media materials from the Motor Vehicle Manufacturers Association to cite several of their spotlight stories. Consider at the turn of the last century, 100 years ago, women were not only in cars but behind the wheel. Their famous stories, like the one from the mid-1880s about automobile inventor Carl Benz's wife, Bertha, taking his machine out for the first test drive. Yet, even a bit more obscure is the story about a woman named Geneva Mudge, who drove a Waverly electric vehicle around New York City in 1898, and later was a race car driver who drove one of the early race cars under the brand Locomobile. And in 1899, Mrs. John Howell Phillips of Chicago became the first licensed woman driver in the United States. And later, also in 1909, a race car driver named Joan Cuneo was one of the most famous women drivers, as she achieved two first place showings in the Mardi Gras behind a wheel of a machine called the Knox Giant. Now, if you might feel like a closed racetrack is less of a test than cross-country, we've got you covered there, too, because later that same year, 1909, 22-year-old Vassar graduate Alice Ramsey became the first woman to cross the United States driving a motor car when she drove from New York to San Francisco. Now, she took along three female passengers with their flowery hats and camping gear and a spare 20-gallon gas can in the back of their Maxwell 30. Alice Ramsey was the only driver, and along the way, she changed the tires, hand-cranked the engine for every start, and clean the spark plugs along that trip. More than 100 years since the first women pioneers behind the wheel of automobiles. What's it like for women professionals in the auto industry today? And what's it like for women in auto racing today? How are women and men doing together in the workplace? We're going into those questions and the answers that follow. All that straight ahead. Thanks for tuning in to the Car Guy Show here on News Talk 990 KTMS. We'll be right back after these messages.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways. Plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five-star with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish. along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid, low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DINI spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath, open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment. What is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of service. Tri-County Auto Glass. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit, a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in. Courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara, 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
Change a life in a big way.
Everybody needs a big brother or a big sister. And Ben, he plays football with me and we like to do things like that. He's my best friend. Whenever he comes over to my house, he feels like he's a part of my family. I feel like I'm a part of his family too.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
You're tuned in to the Car Guy Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. And today, we're talking about women in the world of wheels with two VIP guests with us connecting from the Motor City, Motown, Detroit, the land where the nation's core industry fights every day in a competitive global environment. The topic of women in the workplace has been one that has been increasingly and continually debated and brought forward, and fortunately, for everybody, advanced for the globe. And in the United States, one of the most male-oriented industries since its inception has been the automotive industry. There are many stories and probably just as many myths, but the reality is that since the 1960s, 1970s, and 80s, women in the workplace have had a dramatic change. And some people would say for the better, some would question maybe the family is affected, but these are all opinions. The reality is that we all need to be in the workplace at one level or another, whether it's on a agricultural farm setting or whether it's running a corporation or the country. And we see that right now in the United States. And I'm privileged today to share with you two guests coming up, one of whom is the founder and CEO of the Women's Automotive Association International. I've known her since I lived in Detroit as a California transplant studying the Motor City. And that woman is Lorraine Schultz. Lorraine Schultz, welcome back to the Car Guy Show.
Thank you for inviting me, Steve. And I'm really thrilled to be here with you.
Well, why don't you, you are a woman who worked inside of the automotive industry. When I spoke with you in past months, we both agreed it would be great if I could have you on the show and also have on a colleague of yours and friend, somebody that might be out there that would be a good match for addressing the topic of women in the world of wheels. And I think it's fantastic that you picked a woman who has a PhD in human and organization development, a BS, Bachelor of Science degree in nursing, a RN, and a master's degree in administration. And she's highly placed in Detroit in one of the automakers and also a remarkable person in her diversity, and that's Audrey Zavotsky. Audrey, welcome to the Car Guy Show.
Thank you, Steve, and I appreciate being on the show.
Thank you. I think if I'm correct, didn't we have you and Lorraine together in the studio at one time in Detroit when I did the radio show up there in the North County?
I think we did.
I know I was interviewed by you, Steve. I'm not sure if
I don't think
before
I
knew
together,
maybe,
Audrey.
Maybe this is a first. I didn't have you both in the studio at the same time.
I don't think you had us at
all
the
right.
same
time. But it's great to have you on together. Let me go ahead and go forward on that topic I began to go into, which is obviously women in the world of wheels. And I wanted to read you something I touched on before we went to this interview for today, but I want to read this to you both and have the audience hear this. This is just a sidebar in Time Magazine, a recent issue referring to the president of South Korea. And it's notable in this write-up, she's referred to as the steadfast scion of Seoul, and that's Seoul, South Korea. As the first female president of the Republic of Korea, Madam Park Gwen High, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that name. Folks out there would probably know how to say it better. But she is an inspiration for all women trying to break through the glass ceiling and for all individuals committed to serving the people. This write-up refers to her as being somebody who rose up through politics in Korea, and the writer does a profile talking about her firsthand experience and making the observation that female leaders are often tested in ways that men are not. And when I noted that in the article, Audrey and Lorraine, it struck me as an eye-opening reality that it's one thing for a male to move into a position of leadership traditionally and conventionally, if you will, through the 18th, 19th, 20th century. And now we come into the 21st century, and there was a movement at the end of the 20th century where women asked the question, why shouldn't we be paid the same salaries for the same work? Why shouldn't we be able to ascend to the same levels of leadership as men? And I think you both experienced at the front line what it has taken you to achieve your positions of significance in both of your careers. So Lorraine or Audrey, I'd invite either one of you. I know you're both very respectful of each other, but you have two very different careers, but very similar in that what I observe is you've both been gracious in your moving into a substantial role in your career, and you haven't done it in a way that has made you aggressive like some people might claim a woman would have to be to move into leadership. Comments?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to start out by saying congratulations to the president of Korea. Yeah. I can't imagine being in her position.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it is very, very difficult, regardless of how it looks.
Yeah.
I am sure she's going to have a difficult time, but to me, like, she has a fabulous background and personality to be able to do this, or
sure,
she would never reach that goal.
Yeah.
Going back to other comment about salaries and so forth, positions, we have kind of broken a little bit into a better situation, but we are certainly not there yet. No.
You have
feel that way, Audrey?
I agree.
I mean, we still have work to do, and it's unfortunate, but we all these years, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I thought surely we would be far more advanced. And instead, we get promotions. A lot of women get promotions, and then they leave, or something comes up, and they're no longer there. And it's very difficult to get into that position in the first place. And I feel bad about that. I feel bad about not having more women than we have right now.
You're talking about the automotive world?
In the automotive world.
Okay.
There are so many bright women, like Audrey. My God, what a background. You know, I mean, it is fantastic, and she should really be honored. Unfortunately, that is not happening. And
you're too kind, Lorraine. Thank you.
Well, it is true, Audrey. You know, we've talked about it.
I can speak to it from a perspective of being in the racing world, where that's a male-dominated profession. And
oh, yes.
Really, you are put to the test in ways that other may not be because of it being a male profession. It's one of the guys, but you're a female myself, so I have to work even harder to show that I am competent. And so I will be tested over and over again. Every single time I go out on the track, anytime I'll speak, I'm always looked at or critiqued. So I think the bottom line is to show that women can be as competent as men. It's important to make that commitment, be courageous, but really be competent. That's what I always say all along. Competence is the bottom line. And I think when people see that, it's your action. But show that you're competent.
And what you're saying is so true, but what you just said is what we're talking about. It's twice as difficult for a woman because you have to work so much harder to show that you really are competent.
Right.
And you are. But it takes you, you have to work harder at it to prove it.
I'm struck by, first and foremost, Audrey, hearing you talk about something that I, frankly, I'm a little surprised by, because one of the things that has impressed me about meeting you and your husband, Richard, both of you, I say this because I think the audience can appreciate that when a couple is together and they both have PhDs, it shows that they're both highly ambitious, very committed to what their careers are and have been, and they have to coexist and operate their lives. You can't both hold the steering wheel at the same time, and you both have different strengths and weaknesses.
It calls for you to sort that out. So you're almost a microcosm of society in your marriage. Audrey, I'm just saying that as a side note. I think it's interesting that you have to, kind of like, I think of Jack and Elaine Lalanne. You know, Jack Lalanne is a famous person who passed away a couple of years ago. But his wife hosted her own TV show on which Jack Lalanne was a guest. And so he was in effect sort of introduced to television by being a guest on her show. And throughout their career, they had to be both sort of celebrities, but Jack had to be the one who became the greater celebrity with his fitness thing. So that's a side note. But your husband, Audrey, is substantial. Lorraine, you have had a great husband. You lost a couple of years back who was sensational. He was an accomplished dentist. And here you were, founder of the Women's Automotive Association International. You had your own career, and he supported that. My point to you, Audrey, would be this. I'm just surprised to hear that you have found even that kind of resistance on a small scale, if not a big scale, in auto racing. There's so much to each of your biographies. Let me just say for the audience, you are or have been an instructor at the Bob Bondurant School of High Performance Driving.
That is correct.
So,
yes.
So you're giving instruction to men about how to drive a car.
Correct.
So
I love that.
Yeah. So I can tell the audience, you can imagine, you, I didn't think about this, but if I showed up at Bob Bondurant School, I know you. I'd feel privileged to have you instruct me on how to drive. But if I didn't, I can see there'd be the potential to say, well, now, wait a minute, wasn't I going to be instructed by a guy? Well, why should it be a guy? Audrey Zavotsky's won races all over the place. So that's what you're saying. When you're tested, it's the idea that you always have to know that you're overcoming. You cannot get distracted by the fact that people might be skeptical. You have to be performing at a top level, regardless of whether they expect it or not.
Exactly.
Okay. Comments for that, Lorraine? You founded the Women's Automotive Association what year?
It was 1997.
Okay.
When we officially kicked off.
What?
And it was all through the wonderful assistance I had and support from Northwood University.
Okay.
So I always say thanks to them because I don't think I would have had the chance to do this if it wasn't for their help.
Okay. So we've looked at a little bit of the big picture here. Let me go a little bit tighter back to Audrey for a moment. Audrey?
Yes.
I'm inviting you both on because I'm aware that this topic, I think, is important to men and women to hear in the industry and in culture, and to get insight into your perspectives. Can you go more specific, Audrey, into exactly what it means to go into the workplace and continue to advance your career with that courage you described? Are there any anecdotes or experiences where you've had a department of people turn around and pay you respect that they didn't seem to at the start? And I don't, that puts you right in your workplace now, so I don't mean to cite people or any departments necessarily, but some experience maybe on the racetrack or somewhere where you've had the experience of knowing, you know, if I had bought into the stereotype of me having to be in a clerical position or in a lower level position, I would have never experienced the joy of showing men and women that it's not about gender, it's about achievement. What can you add to that as a person who's won races, accomplished your PhD, and still is involved, and I should note for the audience, in the Ford Motor Company, you're highly placed working with executives on development and the organization of Ford Motor Company leadership. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So any anecdotes?
Professional development.
Yeah.
So I think actually being out there and having raced in the professional world, that adds a lot of credence. And then when a person gets in the car with me and sees what the vehicle can do, that even adds more credence.
It's what you make the vehicle do. The vehicle, right? I'm kidding, but your ability to make that machine perform.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think, I have the best of both worlds because I have, not only am I working in the auto industry, but I also have that racing background. So that's a nice marriage between the two. And I can speak about cars, plus I can show the dynamics and the handling of the vehicle. So it does help in many ways in talking to the execs.
Yeah, instant credibility. Lorraine, you were in the leather and an interior supplier chain to the automakers.
Yes, I was, Steve, and I did that for 18 years. It was a man's world all the way, just like almost like racing. I was always racing to get ahead of them.
Well,
but anyway,
you were in competition for sales and transactions.
Oh, because I was in promotion.
Yeah.
It was still, I was the first woman ever to hold that position, and I had to travel all over, I'd say all over the world, but I didn't hit all the countries.
Yeah.
But mostly where all the auto shows were. And I put on
events and shows. And that was a very delicate, it was a very delicate thing to do at that time. When I was in Tokyo, standing in at the auto show, everybody thought I was a strange person. I mean, a woman standing there in the booth was very unusual, because they never saw a woman with blonde hair at the auto show.
Yeah.
That was some of the things that I ran into. But it was very, very interesting, and it was this wonderful lesson in life, how you can get by and meet all these wonderful people and still manage to go not speaking their language.
Okay, now, you mentioned barriers. Let me shift to that, to the core of what we're talking about then. For young women that might be listening, or for parents that might be hearing this conversation and want to bring one of their middle school or elementary school or high school daughters into the living room or turn the radio up in the car to have the kids here, I'd like to be sure that people listening know that part of the reason I wanted to do this was so that we could spotlight the issue, increase the awareness, and as a car guy, as I call myself, you know, the car guy, I think it's important that people know, Lorraine, as I talked to you about 14 or 15 years ago or whatever that was when we first met, that I'm delighted to have you on back at the show in Detroit, because for me, it's the idea of knowing that there are great car gals, great car guys, whatever the term is that it's used. It's not meant to be exclusive. It's meant to be inclusive in that it's a car culture, whether it's car enthusiast, car buff, road racer, drag racer, you know, in automotive racing, Audrey, you're a motorsports person first and foremost. You're not defined by exactly what you drive necessarily until you start talking about whether you're a road racer or a Bonneville racer or what have you. Is that fair to say, Audrey?
Right.
But you know, when you say automotive industry, it never meant only men. It just meant in the 20th century, and let's say the 1920s to the 1960s, that women would be limited by that glass ceiling at a much more significant level. So, Lorraine, if I've tracked you and Audrey, but it was mostly you that's made this observation, you said, well, both of you said this, that the movement, the advancement of women in the workplace has not achieved the level that you would have hoped it would have hit by 2013 or 2014 as we arrived to the mid part of the second decade of the 21st century. What are the barriers that still remain, either of you?
I think the same barriers remain, that for one reason or another, even though she has the qualifications, like Audrey, for instance, my goodness, if you look at a background like hers, she could lead anybody, anytime, and there are many like her in the industry, but there are still a few people that will hold them back.
Well, what would that look like? What are the specific barriers? What do they look like? How can we make a better future?
Well, I think it's important for women to support women, and especially competent women. And I think sometimes men do things that encourage that camaraderie between that group, their group of men. And I think women need to do more of that. And
you mean an old girls' network?
Well, that's what we should have started.
But let me just note something on balance for the audience and for both of you. It's impressive to me that neither of you have struck me with that militance that you can sometimes sense in either men or women, it doesn't matter, whatever the cliques are, the old whatever network, there's that politic side, there's that help somebody out even though they're not as qualified just because you know their brother, sister, cousin, neighbor, what have you. That old boy network, that old girl network is what is in some ways perpetuated the gap between the genders. And in what your way, I think one of you, Audrey, I think you might have said it, it's the positive of men encouraging and perhaps women encouraging the support of each other in their careers. Is that kind of what I'm getting, or how do you go with that? Does it show itself on the racing world, Audrey, that you have a surprising number of men that come over and congratulate you, and you can see a look in their eyes of they're proud of you and they're impressed with you and they really want you to know it? Well, how's that look?
Actually, there's like a three classes that I see. One is that you just described.
Yeah.
Another is those that feel, I would say, they don't want to have anything to do with you, don't want to speak to you, don't want to give you any type of feedback that you did a great job.
Right.
And then others that, maybe I would put it in two classifications.
Those are the two.
Maybe they feel threatened, and so they don't want anything to do with a woman.
Right, right. Lorraine, thought there?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to a comment that Audrey made that I wish I had made, because I should have, since I'm in the Women's Automotive Association.
Right.
But women really should support women more. And she said that, and I'm glad she did.
So women, even though you're considered to be, you know, great communicators and great at being socially connected and having that advantage of close friendships, you're saying in the workplace, perhaps it's not exemplified at the level it should be in your eyes, that it could be stronger?
Exactly.
So men, does that look like mentoring from women who are more achieved, reaching out to younger women who are trying to climb?
Well, there should be more mentoring.
Yeah.
I think we need to, I don't want to use the expression, but there is one out there for some professions where you eat your young.
Yeah.
I think we need to start with the younger people and support them and share with them the experiences that we have. It looks in the form of mentoring. It looks in the form of just supporting, encouraging, being out there for them for any questions.
Right.
And that, but I think that's really important.
And I think,
well,
thank you.
The support trip comes from the companies as well. This is what we try to do when we honor these women, the outstanding women in the business.
Yeah.
Try to do that so that we can encourage the young people to get into the business. And then we offer scholarships to give them the added opportunities. And I think that is something that we have to continue because there isn't anything out there like this.
Okay. Yes.
And I will tell you, within Ford Motor Company, we have a professional women's network.
Right.
And there are many arms or branches where there's women in manufacturing, women in product development, women in marketing and sales, women in credit. I have one, women in racing.
Yeah.
And these are groups of women that have come together that are very supportive. They put on different programs.
Today, women are running car companies, car divisions, different major executive capacities like both of you hold and have held. Any website or advice you would give to offer to people, families listening with gals in their family in any business, going into medicine or engineering or real estate, whatever it is. Any thoughts, closing thoughts, websites?
I can share with you what I think is important for any young women. And when I go around and speak to kids, what I tell them is set your goals, work hard, and don't give up. You're going to encounter some obstacles, but it makes you a better, stronger person. So always set your sights on what you want to achieve and figure out what you need to do to get there.
Stay focused and have courage.
Exactly.
Okay. Lorraine, website?
Well,
suggestions?
My advice to any of the young people when I'm talking about is to network and to get out of the office, attend business meetings, attend social, make friends. Don't wait to be approached. Be willing to work. Be willing to volunteer. Because all of these things, finally, you do make the friendship. You do make friends, and the friendships over the years will get you the success that you need.
So that reaching out, not waiting for people to approach you.
Reaching out.
Okay.
Networking is extremely important.
Okay.
It's made it possible.
Yep.
For friendships all over the world.
Yeah, and
relationships sometimes are the bottom line that really get you take you a long way.
Absolutely, excellent, Lorraine. What's the website that women can go to if they're just curious about your organization?
Women's Automotive Association.com.
Women's Automotive Association. Those three words.
Mm-hmm.
Women's Automotive Association.com. Audrey, any websites or associations or clubs beyond Women's Automotive Association that you recommend to women?
Actually, if they want to go to a racing school, Bondurant.com is the best.
Yep.
I've been to all different racing schools, highly support it.
And you're there how often? Once a month? Once every...
Whenever they have a need.
Okay.
I used to be there between Christmas and New Year's, but it depends when there is a need.
Okay. You both were very thoughtful. I think it's just neat to spotlight this.
I have another website if people want to go on my website. It's Zavatsky.com, my last name.
Z-A-V. How do you spell it?
Z-A-V as in victory, O-D-S-K-Y.com.
I like that. V as in victory. That's why it's in that name, right? Both of you have been kind to take time to visit, and I know that people out there listening, to the extent that they've caught today's show, will be, as I am, better for hearing some insights from both of you and know where we can contribute and try to open the door to make opportunities for young people, women and men, young gals and young guys, who want to make a better tomorrow. And that's really what you've both been about. And the reason I'm very grateful to have you both on is you exemplify achievement without attitude. And that's what we all need to do. That's what makes it a collaboration.
It's absolutely correct. Thank you very much for inviting me, Steve. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It was fun being on with Audrey.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you both, Steve and Lorraine. It's a pleasure and honor to be part of the show and to share our well wishes to all future female
leaders. Right.
Leaders in the industry, the auto industry,
yeah.
or the racing community.
Yep.
We look forward to seeing more out there because we do have competence in the female world, and we do have a lot to share. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank all of you for joining us for this segment on the World of Wheels. And this brings us to the close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guy Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS. And the original Car Guy website at thecarguy.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy. Take another street.